Praise God. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? There's always a joy in our hearts when we give as unto the Lord. Amen. Before I call on Pastor Ayida, as we will, you know, as a church, greet her happy birthday, let me just take this opportunity also to remind us of important dates that we have marked in our calendar, God willing, as the Lord tarries. You know, it's exciting every time we have opportunities to be a blessing to so many people. And yesterday we were able to visit a sister who gave birth to another baby, and so we attended the birthday party for the first child, and we met so many people. You know, one of the things that God would ask us to do is, when we would want to win people for Jesus, go where the people are. And so, you know, Jesus attended parties. And so, yeah, so we go where they are and just be a channel of blessing. So that's what we did yesterday. And we're excited because of these important dates. Next Sunday, you know, there's a baby boom for some reason. Praise the Lord. We love that. We get excited when a baby is born. Brother Ray and Sister Beth Malyari, they approached me and they want their one of their grandchildren to be dedicated to the Lord. That's baby Reagan. You've met the family, Brother Rusty and the wife, Rochelle, no? Yeah. And so we're going to dedicate baby Reagan on Sunday. And another baby will be dedicated to the Lord on Cinco de Mayo. So that's May 5. That's baby Trenton over there. So praise the Lord. So it's going to be a Saturday event. And, of course, Cinco de Mayo, that's Peter John's birthday. So we have double events on Cinco de Mayo. We're going to have this little boy and Peter John. We're going to visit him. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's be a part of this. I'm excited. And talking about there's a baby boom, that's why we would like to have a parenting class on April 21st. So to prepare all these young couples in raising up their children. Oh, what an awesome, awesome opportunity for us to be a blessing to parents and their children. Amen. And on the 22nd of April, we're going to resume our servanthood class, because these are exciting times in serving God, and we have to be equipped. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so May 13, what's that? Mother's Day. Yay! Mother's Day. And so we're going to honor all the mothers. So invite some friends that you know are mothers, no? And we're going to honor them that day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And, you know, when you and I count our blessings, I always say this, blessings are not just equated with, you know, finances, but blessings come from God. He's the source. And He would bless our lives with people. People who would have this impact in our lives that would bring about, and that kind of impact that would last for eternity, that would have an impact in our walk with God, who would encourage us, pray for us, and be a part in our spiritual well-being. We as a church, we're blessed that we have developed this relationship with Pastor Lou and Pastor Ayida over all these years. And I'll never get tired of saying it, because it was meant by the Lord for us to be together in serving God and just ministering to God's people. And so we would like to honor Pastor Ayida today as she celebrated her birthday. So Pastor Ayida, happy birthday. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you, the Jesus way. Happy makes day of a year. May you feel Jesus near. More years. Praise the Lord, Pastor Ayida. I'll give you this opportunity to say something. But in behalf of the family of God here in the New and Living Way, we thank the Lord for you. Yeah, and so you're a part of us, and we are thankful for all that. You know, in our giving, we give ourselves, we give our time. You know, they come all the way from, how far is Rancho Santa Margarita? 60 miles. Yeah, really, wow. You know, they take the time to be with us in our Palomar retreats in the past, and even every Sunday that they come and minister to us, and they have been both such a blessing. Thank you so much, Pastor Ayida. Praise the Lord. You wanna?
First and foremost, thank you. I know this is a gift of love, and I receive it in love. And these are my favorite flowers. Orchids are my favorite flowers. And so, you know, God knows all things. And, you know, as Pastor Bonnet has said, we are honored, really, that God would call us into this alliance. And it has been that over the years. It's been a holy alliance. And when we first began our friendship, you know, you don't know what God has in store for you. You don't know why God joins people together. And, you know, we had a sense that it was a hard time, that, you know, we would pray for Pastor Monette, the leadership, and the New Beginning Church here. You know, the new start, the new beginning, the fresh start. And so that's what we had in our heart, to do that. But God knew that it would be long-lasting, eternal relationship. And so over the years, you all have blessed my life so much with your prayers, with your generosity, your support. There's just no way to say thank you enough. I wish there were larger words than thank you, you know. But let me just say, we love you so much. Everywhere we go, we speak of our family here, the New and Living Way Church. You're big in our hearts and you're big in our mouth. By that I mean we speak of you often, and we speak of you honorably, and we speak of you lovingly. And so we just say thank you, and a special great big thank you to our beloved pastor, who just is always there for us, always praying for us, and has been a strong partner supporting us. And so we thank you.
Praise God. Happy birthday. We're better together. Always better together. And, you know, just know that you are an important part of the body of Christ. What you and I do, God sees everything. And so we're so honored to have Pastor Lou and minister to us the word of God today. Pastor Lou, praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Everybody hear me okay? Glory, glory, glory. You want me to walk you back? I'll walk with you. Walk with my sister. All right. Okay. Is everybody happy about being in the house of God? Sure sounds quiet in here, man. Brother Nelson came up and said, put some money in this thing and get put more in the offering so you get blessed more. Sure got quiet. Huh? Man, it's almost like a funeral when people talk about money. Christians should talk about money because we get blessed with it so we can be a blessing. Amen. Amen. Money is not for us to put it in the pocket and put it in the bank and put it into our pension plans and that's all you do. Those things are good. But the main reason God blesses us is so we can be a blessing to somebody else. Amen. That's the whole reason. And when you bless somebody else, he gives it back to you again. Because he knows he can trust you with the money that he's giving you.
That's right.
But if you just take it and put it in your pocket and put it in your pocket and you hoard it and you hoard it and you hoard it, you won't have it for long. You'll lose it. It won't be in your hand too long. It'll just disappear. That's what you're going to think. Man, I had $1,000 just yesterday, and it disappeared. It went to a broken refrigerator, or went to a broken car, or went to something that was broken in your thing, and you didn't want to spend that money at that time. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Are you all awake?
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen. Hey, like I said to you a couple of months ago, I'm working on my third retirement. And I'm going to make sure my third retirement is better than all the other ones. Amen? Because that's the one that's going to take me right into heaven. And I'm telling you that God has been so good. I've already shared my testimony with you. So God has been so good. You got the second part of the blessing when a man in our church got healed the very next day that I laid hands on him. And Wednesday, we went to, Wednesday or Thursday? Yeah, Thursday. We had the Bible study. Thursday, we were at church, And his wife came over and says, oh, Pastor Lou, we want to thank you. We want to thank you. But thanking me. And I said, no.
Yes, so
don't
nice.
Thank me.
Thank the Lord, yes.
I'm only a deliverer. I'm only a servant. Mm-hmm. I was the messenger that God used to heal your husband. Mm-hmm. Never allow anybody to put the glory on you.
Amen.
It's on
That's right.
him.
That's right.
It's
That's
always
right.
to point you to Jesus.
That's right.
Are you getting all that?
That's
no
right.
matter what you do to help somebody else, no matter what you do that's going to bring glory to the kingdom of God, never, ever take the credit yourself.
Amen.
Never. Because it is God that gives you the power to do what he wants you to do. Amen?
That's right.
And it's always for his glory, not ours. The moment you take on the glory, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Because you're putting yourself before God. You understand Japanese? You speak Japanese? Ohayo gozaimasu na. Oh, come on. So that's funny. That makes him feel more at home now, see? I'm the only one that speaks Japanese, I think. I don't know. Anybody else speaking Japanese? I learned Japanese. I was in Japan for 1 year. And my son was there for 6 months. Amen? Glory, glory, glory. It's so good to be with you guys, I'm telling you. Just Monday, I started my immunotherapy, which is the second part of my treatment. I went over there, we met with the doctor, and in a half hour I was out of there. It was half hour treatments. I have to do the treatments, I don't know yet for how long, but they recommend a minimum of, 3 months or 4 months?
About 4 months.
Yeah, it's a minimum of 4 months. It's a half hour, and you're in and out of there like nothing. And it's just absolutely incredible. Never be afraid. When you get sickness upon you, yeah, we believe God, we trust God, but don't be afraid of the treatment. Because they make you feel comfortable. You walk out of there. I mean, sometimes things happen, but you know, I'm telling you, don't be afraid of what God invented or created for your benefit.
That's right. Yes.
Somebody tells you, oh, you don't have faith to believe because you're going to the doctor. That's baloney. Who do you think gave the doctor that knowledge?
That's right. It's the Lord.
You don't need to be a Christian for God to give men knowledge. And he's given a lot of knowledge to doctors and men who want to study.
Yes.
Don't be afraid of those things. You go and get it in faith. God's going to meet you with your faith.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm happy to be alive. Glory, glory, glory.
Yeah.
Hey, when if you didn't enjoy it the first round or the second round, you better enjoy it in the third because there ain't no more rounds. Glory, glory, glory. This is not a ball game where you go, 10 innings, or 9 innings. Oh, glory, glory, glory. I just wanted to remind everybody of a couple of things and thank you all for your prayers, of course. And I just, God has done something. I've already shared this with you. When God meets you, you know you're in the presence of God. You know that you know that he's there.
Yes,
and you know
yes.
that you know that he loves you.
That's right. Amen.
That is so Lord. Important yes, for you to yes. understand when you're going through anything with God.
That's right.
You got to know that you know that he loves you.
That's right.
No matter how you feel, no matter how you look, no matter what people say about you, no matter what other people think or give you good news or bad news or whatever it is,
yes.
you just know that you are in the presence of the Almighty. And he loves you. Amen? Hey, I'm holding it in. I'm not crying as much anymore. But who knows? We're just beginning. I'm feeling so good now that I've already scheduled my first mission trip in October. We're going down to Hermosillo. I've got some flyers out in the back. The whole trip will be $1,450. And that just covers everything. We're flying down. And so it's a wonderful place, Hermosillo. It's one of the first churches we ever worked with.
In
Mexico. I'm sorry. I didn't say that. In Hermosillo, Mexico. And, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to go into the mission field. Because when going into the mission field, it'll increase your mission field here. Because it'll open up your eyes. It'll open up your heart to what God wants you to do. Mm-hmm. You see, sometimes we get comfortable in our home churches. That's one of the problems. We come in and we become bench warmers, seat warmers. And we can't all be seat warmers. We all got to be busy about God's business no matter where we are. And I want to encourage you. We got Hermosillo, Mexico coming up, and that's a quick trip. It's a 7-day, 6 nights, and this church that we'll be visiting, we are starting 4 churches there. So you'll be if you come with us, we'll be ministering in 4 of those churches, of the churches that we're going to plant, right there. So you'll be there, you'll be working there. We don't go over there to sightsee. We might take a half day to do that, but most of the time we'll be ministering. And every night there'll be services, and obviously, and then we'll come back on the next day, but on Sunday, Monday, which is the 8th. So think about it. We also have good old Israel, which I canceled for this year, and we are going next year. The same dates, same exact dates, the 13th through the 24th, the same price. What a deal. It's the same price. excuse me. It doesn't. Inflation doesn't bother us. We're just going to let God take care of it. So we're going in there with the same price. And let me see. I've seen some of you guys in the Philippines just having a good old time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've seen some of you in New York. I've seen you guys traveling all over the place. But you gotta start thinking about the kingdom. Investing money in the kingdom. Invest time and energy and your money in the kingdom. And it'll be the greatest return you'll ever get back on your money. I think I've shared this before with you. Going to the Philippines, that is a good place to be. And we decided to get behind it as a ministry. And we're going to continue to get behind what you guys are doing over there. Now, in fact, in the near future, I would love to visit that work while we're there. So we look forward to doing it. In fact, we'll do it when we go visit my son. Which I don't know when that be. It has to be within 2 years because he'll get angry with us if we don't go over there. If we don't go over there, then he has to pay to come here. He has to pay to come here. And so we got that coming up. And then also we have a trip to the Amazon and in Lima, Peru next year, or about in the early part of the year. And little trips that I'll be doing myself, which we'll go to visit churches that we have in Mexicali and all that stuff. But I say this all to encourage you. We want to encourage you. You know, don't let what you're going through dictate how you think. You go through your things and you count on God and you face and you stick with your faith in God, and He'll see you through what you're going through. That's so right. That you can get to where He
that's
wants
right,
you.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Yes.
If you say you're going to go on a mission trip, go. Don't let the enemy throw you up.
That's right.
I know as soon as I said that word, $1,450, my God, that's expensive. Really? Think about all the monies we've spent on vacations of $3,000 or $4,000. We just spent well over $10,000 on our anniversary we did last year. See, but I learned a long time ago from a good teacher in the Word. He said, never spend more on the worldly things than you would spend on the kingdom. So if I'm willing to spend $10,000 on my pleasure, spend $10,000 on the kingdom. Over and over again, that has come to bless me, and I have never, ever spent more on worldly things than I do on kingdom things. So you got to be ready to bless God and just give it to Him for whatever you do. I mean, so easy. We buy a TV, right? It costs, I don't know, today, now they're getting cheaper and cheaper, so they get bigger and bigger in the house. I mean, some TVs are 70 inches, about 84 inches. And you can buy them for $2,000. $2,000 for a TV set that doesn't bring any joy to your life. Just numbs you. Just get in front of it. You can see cable vision. You can see the Christian channels. But you can also see all the other junk that's in the world right there. But think about that, okay? This morning, in fact, before I begin, let me pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to give you the praise and the glory, and I want to thank you, dear gracious Heavenly Father, for the opportunity that you have given me to be here in this house, oh precious Father, in a house that we have had a relationship with for 9 years now, oh precious Father, and soon to be 10 years. And so I give you the praise and I give you the glory, and I thank you, dear gracious Heavenly Father, that my tongue is like a ready writer, Father. Whatever you want to give me in my spirit, Father, that I will give unto them. And I thank you, dear gracious Lord. Boy. Thank you, Father, that today you will speak to their hearts, not their minds, Father. That we will speak clearly in the Spirit to everyone's heart. I thank you, dear gracious Father, that as I speak these words, it is going into their hearts, O precious Father, that they're receiving them by their spirit, O precious Father. And I'm going to give free rein to whatever you want to do here today. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, Pastor was talking about relationships and offerings and tithes and all these things that you're doing here as a church. But you know that we have had an enemy since the day we were born. Since the first day of creation, since Adam and Eve were on this earth, right from the very beginning, we had an enemy. And we call him Satan. We call him the deceiver, the liar. We call him all kinds of different things. But he has never given up on what he wants to do in your life. He doesn't want you to obey God. He doesn't want you to read his word. He doesn't want you to go to church. He doesn't want you to get involved in the kingdom business. Okay? But does he come out and tell you that? Because if he came out and said, I'm the devil, and I don't want you to go to church. Well, you would know it's a devil, number one. And you would say, well, shut up, devil. Just get away from me. You have no power here. You have no place here. Just get out. That's what we would do, right? But he doesn't come that way. Because the devil is a great deceiver.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's a great deceiver. And we have an enemy who is constantly, 24 hours a day, trying to deceive us from following in the steps of God. He is trying to get us off course. Many of us would say, oh, he hasn't deceived me. He hasn't done this. And he hasn't deceived me from serving God or doing this. But sometimes we have to take a better look and make sure that we're not serving God just to serve our flesh, just to make sure that people see us serving God. That doesn't, you're not doing it for God if that's the reason you're doing it. You've been deceived. When we think of this nation, where we started, our Christian principles, think about it. The people who came here with a purpose to set up a Christian foundation in the United States of America. Or what was the United States of America then? They came here with Christian principles. 52 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, 52 men out of 55 were Christians. A lot of them were pastors. 52. And this world would try to get you to believe that we don't have a Christian foundation. We have a Christian foundation, but we have allowed it to get into the enemy's hands. And we have let it go. And consequently today, the more space you give to the devil, the more he's going to take. I've always said this. You give the devil your finger, he's going to take your hand. If you give him your hand, he's going to take your arm. You give him your arm, he's going to take everything you got. We get deceived on a daily basis in one way or other. We get deceived by our workplaces, our government. We get deceived by people we know. We get deceived by many different ways. Sometimes we know that it's deception, and sometimes you don't know. You see, because when we do a check, when we look at our history, when we look at our past, Aida and I were discussing this, and I think many of you who have been watching TV, and they talk about this a lot now, because we see everything changing before our eyes in our politics and what we think. And what we allow as a Christian nation. Whoever would have thought 50 years ago of aborting a child? One child. Let alone 6 million in 50 years. Whoever would have allowed that to happen? 6 million children being aborted. That's 6 million killed. Children killed.
Mercy.
You would never have allowed that. You would never see that in a society that would ever have allowed that. Abortions then were illegal. Abortions then were done secretly. You know, we've all heard the stories. So abortions now are what? They're now the law of the land. We have accepted that as a Christian nation. We have accepted. That's how weak we have become. That before the Christian nation would speak up, that would never have happened. Roe versus Wade. The very law. Nobody combated it. It was taken to court by one woman. Not a whole movement. One woman took it to court. And she won. Because everybody was sat back, didn't say anything, didn't do anything, and we were deceived again. And the more we are deceived, the weaker we get as a nation, as a Christian nation. And we see it all over the place, don't we? We see it. We see it in schools. What are they doing now in schools? What are they doing now in schools with our children in high school, junior high school? I don't even know if they're doing it already in the elementary school, but we're talking about teaching sex education in high school, which is okay when it's done right. But then you get down to the junior high school. But I'm not talking about sex education about like we learned it with biology. We only had biology. That's all they taught us. You know, the arm and the veins and the heart and all the other the organs. That's all we learned. Not all the stuff they're teaching today. In fact, they don't tell you what it's for. So that our children are being taught and being deceived at a very young age. And we as parents, what are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? The Christian body has allowed that to exist, and they allow their children to be exposed to it. Many parents are doing what? They're sending their kids to private schools, Christian private schools. And even then, you better search that school pretty well. You got to watch it very carefully. They're passing out condoms in the high schools, junior high school. And I think I heard it down to the elementary level, maybe the sixth graders. Can you imagine this? Where is this all going? You see, the more the deceiver gets into our life, the more the deceiver gets into the government, the more the deceiver gets into other areas of our life, the less of God is spoken of. You see, the whole purpose of Satan is to get God out of the picture. It's to get Jesus out of the picture. We just can't allow that to happen, because this government, if they take away God, they'll take away Jesus, they'll take away everything. It ain't going to hurt us, because we're going to still... But you know how difficult it's going to be for you to get somebody else into the kingdom? Because you see, they will have already been deceived. And then to get somebody else out of that deception, it's not an easy ploy, but it can and will be done. I know everybody thinks the kingdom is rosy. Oh, I'm going to have a wonderful time. I'm in the kingdom of God today, so I'm going to have a wonderful life. That's what we're supposed to have. Regardless of what's going on around us, that is exactly what we're supposed to have. A wonderful, joyous life with our Lord and Savior. Obeying Him, going out and ministering to people, getting people saved, bringing them into the kingdom of God, bringing them into church, ministering to the sick, ministering to the lost, going to hospitals and ministering, the senior, everything. There's so much to do for the kingdom of God. We could go on and on and on until Jesus comes back. But if now they stop us from going into a hospital, now you can't even go into a hospital and clearly share Jesus Christ. Unless it's one-on-one. Unless it's one-on-one. Think about that. You start thinking about the nursing homes. A lot of nursing homes allow Christians to come in and preach. But they also allow the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses. They allow all the liars and the deception that can go in too. So they figure the way they're going to get back at us is that we have to allow all the deceivers, all the false religions have to come in also. And the reason I'm sharing this is because we need to get alert, become alert as to what's happening in our life. The deceiver, The deceiver does not want you to live a victorious life. He does not want you to live in the truth of God. He does not want you to help somebody that's lost. He does not want you to help somebody that's sick and that needs Jesus now for healing. He does not want you to do that. That's why he wants to make sure that they want to pass the laws. If anybody's keeping tuned into this thing, right here in California, they want to pass a law that will allow not allow a church in church to mention the name Jesus, to mention our salvation, to mention all the things that we stand for can't be mentioned in the church. So, excuse me, so they take that away from us. This is just in California. I don't think that's going to go through. I don't really believe it's going to go through, but you know, you never know here in California. You never know, because these people are just they're in La La Land. Remember that movie, La La Land? This is it. We're living in it. This is La La Land. We cannot allow anything or anyone to rob us of what we know of Jesus Christ, of what you stand for. Don't allow yourself to be even induced by somebody else to give up what you know is true. You see, if somebody tells you Jesus is your Savior, and then he said, well, no, and somebody of these false religions comes in, and they start talking about, you don't have to believe in Jesus. You know, we're all saved. Who was it that said that? The Pope! Our grand old Pope just said that, don't worry, there is no hell. Now, you talk about deception. Think of the millions of people who believe the Pope. Think of the millions of people who believe the Pope who just said there is no hell because when you die, you just disappear. Oh, boy, are they in for a sad treatment. Can you imagine the Pope saying opposite of what the Word says? Yet, they have movies and things saying about the Pope. The Pope is a man of his word. Well, he may be of his word, but he's definitely not of God's word. And you see how easy you can be deceived? Because you have a man of authority, religious authority supposedly, and he's saying that there is no more hell. And so we start, well, wait a minute, man, is that really true? Is that really true? Of course it's not. Not for us. You see, if you think about it and you are having questions in your mind whether it's true or not, you're already deceived. You have been deceived. Because you've been in the body of Christ for 5 years, 10 years, and you don't know whether you're going, whether there is a heaven and a hell, then you've already been deceived. You see, the enemy will never work in a way that you look back and you say, hey, the enemy is around here. He threw this at me. He done this. He did this in front of me. He did this through another person. He's always going to keep it nice and quiet. He's just going to deceive you. He's just going to let you do whatever you want to do. And that's what this world wants. Don't tell us about God. Don't direct me. Don't tell me what to do. Let me believe the way I believe, and that's it. Did God say to do that? Just let them be whatever they want to be? When you become a Christian, just keep your mouth shut. Don't share anything. No, because it's a big deal. Because when we got saved for a purpose. We know where we're going. We know who in whom we believe. We know who lives within us. You see, and the less you know about your Christian faith, the more deceived you can get. Because let me tell you, the devil's right at the door knocking. Anytime you hear something and you have questions about it and you have doubts about it, already you have a little inkling of deception that's been working on you. Especially if you've been in the things of God for a long time. If you're just starting out and you're just starting in the things of God, that's a different story. You don't know the whole picture of Jesus yet. You don't know the whole story of God. You don't know what he wants you to do. That's why the enemy goes after the newborn. Man, he goes after him right then and there. The moment a person comes to the feet of Christ, a brand new baby in the Lord, the moment he comes to the Lord, that devil is right there. He comes right back. He's going to steal the seed that was planted in him, which was Jesus Christ. That's what he's there for. He's going to come immediately. That's why it's important. Am I on? Did I move? That's why it's important. That's why it's important that when a new baby comes into the Lord, that the brethren get around him. Get around him. Keep him close. Speak into his life. Get him involved in the things of God. Get him reading his Bible. Get him into a Bible study. It's important that they learn about God immediately. They learn what it is that God wants for them immediately. Because the enemy is right there immediately.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
You guys know that. You all remember when you first became a Christian and you went to all your family? Hey, you're happy, man. Hey, mama, I just became a Christian. And they're still Catholic. And you did what? You did what? A Christian? You're already going. You already know Christ. Or you go to friends. And they say, what's that? You know, they don't look like they're happy about you. They don't look anything. And if anything, oh, that Christian religion, forget it. I tried that already. You're going to get every negative response. Very few people are going to get by you. Oh, man, this is great. I'm so glad you did it. Right then and there, the enemy is trying to get into your mindset, into your heart, into your brain, and how you think and how you live. Right then and there. And don't doubt what I'm saying. Because I'm going to bring you a book. Everybody, I'm going to bring a book for every one of you. And not because I'm being so generous. It's the person who wrote the book that's being generous. They'll send it for $1. $1, the whole book. The Spirit of Deception. I'm telling you, this is very, it's all biblical. The whole book. It's entirely biblical. And you can see it, and it because it speaks of the prophetic word of God. He takes it right out of the word of God. And he gives you his own personal experience of how he went through a lot of things in his life when he first became a Christian. Everybody thinks because he become a Christian, everything's going to be rosy. No, it's just the beginning of rosiness. You're going to go through battles. You're going to go through a lot of different things. The more you will, the more you want to serve God, the more you want to follow the Lord, the more the enemy is going to come after you. If the enemy is not coming after you and trying to get you off course, then maybe you're not doing anything. Maybe you're not doing anything that he has to bother you with.
Right.
Or maybe you're just completely deceived of where you are. Amen? Right. Don't get sad on me. This is good news, not bad news. I just want to point out who your enemy is,
right,
so that you live victoriously. See, because your enemy has no strength over you. He has no power over you. That's what you got to know also. He's got no power. We got the enemy, but you got no power. The idea is to know your enemy.
Amen.
You see, when you go into war, the generals don't say, okay, so what do we got? Okay, we know we got all this. Okay, so what does the enemy have? See, generals know and they want to know all they can about their enemy. So how do we battle this enemy? How do we battle him? Where are his weaknesses? Where are his strengths? That's how the generals in the army handle their battles. And we're to do the same thing. You see, we know his ways because we have the word. So we know exactly what his weaknesses are. We know where his strengths are, and we know how to battle him. Because we have the name above all names, and in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, including the devil.
Amen. Right.
Including the demonic spirit shall bow.
Amen.
So you don't have any reason to be in a loss or be afraid. You just declare the name of Jesus in your life, and you just rebuke that spirit. It is a spirit. Understand that. It is a spirit that is trying to come upon you and get your mindset off of Jesus and onto him. But he doesn't want you to think it's him. You know, it could be a new wave movement. It could be, like I said, deception is in religions. Deception, a lot of deception is in religions. That don't even think that Jesus is Jesus. They don't even believe he's God. They don't even believe he's our Savior. They just think the whole Muslim nation, not all Muslim nations, but the majority of the Muslim nations believe that Jesus is a prophet. And he's a good teacher. He was a great teacher, and he's a good man. That's it. They don't believe in him as Savior, and they don't believe that he was the Son of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, reshinda na lahai kato prabhu tunda prabhu. Urba tunda. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know what's interesting is that this thing began to happen in this country. If you think most of us here have 50 years behind them, this happened right after World War II. That the beginning, the decay of our belief system started to get bad, worse and worse and worse and worse. It happened right from then on. Little by little, chip by chip, little by little, that the enemy took away and was beginning to take away every single thing that we stood for was taken away. If you think of where we were as a nation then, you've got to remember that the United States, it is the biggest country that distributes Christian books, Christian videos, Bibles, like I said, books, churches. We supply the world. Do you know that? The United States supplies the world of all Christian, most of the world, of all Christian literature. The biggest distributor of Christianity in the world. And we have been for many, many years. And yet, in all that Christian stuff, in all that we believe, in all the churches that we have here in the United States, the morals have gone down and down, and our belief system has gone down and down, and all the things that we used to hold sacred as things that can't be done. No, that you're not going to do that. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do this. Little by little, they've gone by the wayside in the last 60 years. There's truth to that because you can see it yourself. You can hear it yourself. If you've been here, or it doesn't matter where you've been, it doesn't matter. This is happening all over the world. But you see, the United States is getting attacked even more because it's the epic center of Christianity. This is where Christianity went out all over the world. This is where it all started. This is where it all began, and it started to go out for the Christian cause with our missionaries and what we believe with Bibles and books and everything that we have. And this is why the enemy is going to attack the United States even more heavily. And if you don't believe me, it's in the Bible. It's in the Word of God. It's going to happen. Go with me. Go with me to Genesis 3. This is where it all began. Genesis 3, 13 and 14. Genesis 3, 13 and 14, it says, "And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' And so the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life.'" Deception first came to Eve. Eve was deceived, and she took that deception and gave it to Adam. But Adam knew that she had been deceived, and still ate it anyway. And see, that's what a lot of us do, right? We're still eating of the deception. We still know, oh no, that's wrong, but we're still eating it. Oh, that's wrong, but we're still okaying it. That's wrong, but we're still not saying anything about it. We have to speak up as a nation. We have to speak up as Christians in that nation because of what we believe. We have to stand tall for what you believe, because the enemy is going to come at you where you work, where you live. He's going to come at you in church. He's going to come at you wherever he can. He's going to come at you to get that belief system out of you, to weaken that belief system. Are you hearing me? This is why when Brother Nelson said that the church's job is to take that money and to go and to bless others, is to set people free. Because we were in bondage. We were in chains. Weren't we? We were depressed. We were oppressed. We were all kinds of things before we came to the feet of Christ. And there's a whole world that we left that's still that way. And they're your neighbors. They're your family. They're all over the place. We go to many different churches in many different parts of the world. And let me tell you something. That enemy is at work first class in those countries. They allow so many things in church that it just fathoms me what they allow in churches. But it's no different than here. It's happening here already. And if it happens here, it's going to happen. Because you know what? Those churches that filter down the Word of God, and then they send missionaries, they're sending that filtered word, that not powerful word, they're sending it out as well. So they're sending that out, and it's being filtered into the ears of people in other countries as well. But we can stand on what we already have. Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy 11, 13 through 17. Deuteronomy 11, 13 through 17. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in season, and the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine and your oil. And I will send grass in your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and be filled. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart, look at what he says here. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived. Of all that goodness of God, of all the promises that God gave them, he's telling them, be careful that you be not deceived. And that's still today. This was hundreds of years ago. And it's still true today. We have to be careful that we are not deceived by our own mind and by what other people put into our minds and our hearts. Lest your heart be deceived and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. How many of us have done that in the church? Oh, Pastor, you know, I'm busy. I have to work on Sundays. Work on Sabbath? Who is deceived? You are. You are deceived to think that you have to work on a Sunday. If God said the Sabbath was made for man, and that we are to take that day to come into his house and to worship and to praise him and to glorify God, and you say to God, God, I can't go to church because I have to work today. Who said you had to work today? But I was blessed by God. He got me a job. No, the devil can get you a job too. God is not going to give you a job that's going to take you out of the very place that he wants you in. If he wants you in church, that's where you should be. If that's your Sabbath, be there on the Sabbath. Don't see? Those are little things that we see people doing all the time, and you are deceived to think that that's the way it has to be. No! If the doctor tells you you're going to die, you are deceived to believe what he said. What does God say about it? I'd rather believe God before I believe man. I want to hear the info. I want to know what I have, but I'm not going to sit there and say, well, I got to believe the doctor. You know, he says, I'm going to die. Baloney. That's what the devil is saying. That's not what God is saying. God will take me in His time.
That's right.
In His time.
Amen.
And not before that. Don't be deceived. Well, brother, you know, we got things to do. My son has a baseball game. I got to go to a... You are deceived. Do you realize that Little League Baseball was always played during the week at night and on Saturdays? Period. There were no sports on Sunday. Well, guess who allowed that to happen? You mean to tell me? They say that we got 100 million Christians here in America. That's what they say. You mean if 100 million people spoke up and said, hey, we don't want that, that the government wouldn't change that? Organizations wouldn't change those dates? Are you kidding me? We have the power to put in a Christian president every single term. We have the power, but we don't have the wherewithal. We don't have the want, the desire to do that. Because we have been deceived. Because God, what did God want? He wanted a Christian government, Christian heads. And only because the people of Israel wanted that. Because God wanted to be God over them. But no, you know, they wanted a king. Oh, you want a king, huh? All right, I'm going to give you a king. Now all the problems started. Gave you a king. They wanted to be like everybody else. And that's what we have today. We want to be like everybody else. He's got a TV. I want a TV. He's got a new car. I want a new car. I got this. I got that. We are deceived and we don't even know it. And I'm telling you, He's quiet. And He's good at what He does. Don't ever deny that. Because the devil is an expert at deception. But we serve a God that's an expert at giving us the answer. We can catch him at whatever he's trying to do because this word
is the truth.
That's my deception guide. I watch for that. He's going to say this. I know he's wrong. He's going to say this about God. No, that's wrong. You've got to know the word. You've got to know your God. So when that deception comes, say, get out of here. Get out of here. You don't even belong here. We don't even want to talk to you. We don't want you in this place. We want you out.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Out. Oh, that, she agreed with me. Amen. Glory to God. Out of the mouth of babes. Here we go. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you. And he shut up the heavens so that there will no rain, be no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord has given you. There are consequences to not obey God. There are consequences when you don't believe the word of God is for you. When you believe something else is stronger and better than what God has already given you. There are consequences. Because God wants you all for him. He's an envious God. He wants you to love him and him only. He wants you. He's a jealous God. He's a jealous God. That's because he loves us so much. You know, when you love someone a lot, when we look at that new baby when he's born, man, your whole heart just pours out over that baby and just pours out. And then the baby is one. And then two, you know, when they talk about the terrible twos, and they say, oh my God, is this baby ever going to change? Well, yeah, he is going to change, but it's going to take another 15 years. Huh? Where do you think those babies learn to say no? Disobedience. I mean, at two, it's almost like they have a brain cell that opens up at two, and mama says, do this. No. We didn't teach them. We didn't teach them to do that. You know, I remember one time my mother came from New York to visit us. Well, she was having a hysterectomy. And I think Anthony was two, about that age, two. And he's in the high chair. And we give him spaghetti. And so he thought it was a great idea to take the spaghetti in his hands and just throw it on the floor. Just like that. No big deal. So my mother wouldn't do anything. Oh, that's so nice. That's so cute. That's so cute. Oh, that's so nice. Then Aida had to come down from upstairs because she heard what was going on. And everything got in order real quick. And we didn't even know the Lord then. But the discipline that you give your children is to obey what the law of the house, let's say. Because if you don't have them obey that, you're going to go nuts.
There'll be chaos.
You're going to need more than a little rod. You know, in the Philippines, they got those rods. And they hurt. And they burn. Right? That bamboo stick. That hurts and it burns. God will do that with us. God will discipline us. He will discipline us so that we go straight and go right. The way he wants it. Not the way the baby wants it. Once the baby's grown up, then you know how to do things right. And even then, still God is disciplining us. Because we are forever, ever in a process of being worked on. You hear me? You are in a continuous process of God working in your life. Isn't it? If you think that you have arrived, there's a lot more. There's a lot more for you. That's why you've got to open up your eyes and open up your mind and let God sink himself into you and know that he's with you, helping you to do what he wants you to do. Sure, he knows you're married. Sure, he knows you have kids. There's a process for that. But there's a life outside of us. And that life is the life of the kingdom of God. Because we take the kingdom of God wherever you go. Amen. Wherever you go shopping, wherever you go to school, wherever you work. Wherever you go, the kingdom of God is with you. How do you know that, Pastor? Because Jesus said so. When he went into one of the sinners, I think it was Matthew. Not Matthew the disciple, Matthew the tax collector, where Jesus went to his house. And he started saying all that, that he was going to give back six times more than that he had stolen from the people, or three times more. And then Jesus said, today the kingdom of God has come into this house. The kingdom of God, wherever you go, whoever's home you go into, or whoever's place that you're in front of, you are a representative of God's kingdom right where you are. And you know, God is working without you knowing it. God is working on that person's life. If he wants you to minister to that person, he's already working on that person's life for you to minister to that person. And then he's going to let you know to do it. And that's what we have to obey. We have to obey to minister to that person right then, right there. Whatever you had on your heart, because he's not going to give you the whole picture. He's just going to give you just enough for you to open your mouth and get going. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go on very quickly. This is a good one. This is Job 12:16. With him are strength and prudence. With who? Strength and prudence? With him. That's God. The deceived and the deceiver. The deceived and the deceiver are his. It's all in his hands. It's all under his control. The deceived, which is us, and the deceiver. It's all in his hands. It's all part of his plan to get you on the right side. To get you where you need to be. You're not going to go through this life without getting attacked from the deceiver. Highly, highly impossible. I don't care if you're the great Billy Graham. The great Billy Graham was attacked. Their son was attacked. A whole lot of people that we don't know of have been attacked by the enemy in various different ways. But it's what you do after that attack. That's important. What? How we stand. Galatians 6, 6, 6, 9 says, let him who is taught, Galatians 6, 6 through 9, let him who is taught the word, who is that? Let him who is taught the word, is that you? Share in all good things with him who teaches. That's our pastor. Or it could be your teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows through his what?
Flesh.
Through his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap everlasting life. And then he goes on to say, and let us not grow weary while doing good. How many times we go, oh man, I've been trying to help this person for so long. I've been trying to help this person. Oh man, when are you going to get it? When are you going to get it? And you just, and he's just telling us right there, do not weary in doing good. Keep trying. One day, they're going to say, hallelujah. My son, my oldest, you pray for your children all the time. He accepted Christ at a very age 16, I think it was. Age 16. Not an easy time to accept Christ. Because your boy, you're right in those, like the terrible twos. These are the terrible teens. I know, none of you went through that. So you're okay, you're all right. We all went through that. That we know what we're doing. Mom, you don't have to tell me nothing. Dad, I know everything.
Yes.
I once remember seeing a guy put on a refrigerator. Son, I want you to leave now. Pack your stuff. You're at a level that you know everything now. We can't teach you anymore, so you might as well go into the world now. He put it right on the refrigerator, one of those metal magnets. But it was a joke. But that's how we feel sometimes when we're in those crazy teens. You know, 16, 17, 18, 19. But there are some people that never got out of those teens and they're still living at home when they're in their 40s. Now, that's another problem. Right? Nobody will admit that some are. Okay, let's move on. But it says it so clearly here. You're not going to be mocked out and you will be deceived. You'll deceive yourself when you don't obey God's word. You deceive yourself. You can't even blame the devil. You know that? Because you deceive yourself if you don't obey what God has already told you. Remember in Revelation 19, it says, right? 19:10, it says that the Spirit of Jesus is a living spirit. I don't want to say it wrong. I'm going to go right to it. Anybody got it? Revelations 19:10. The Spirit of Jesus. Oh, the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus Christ is the Spirit of prophecy. So when you share the Word of God, you are prophetically speaking into somebody else's life. Are we not? In all the word, every chapter, every verse, every single letter is prophetic in the kingdom of God. It is a prophetic word that is given to us so that we can give it to somebody else. Does that mean we're prophets? No. We have the capacity to prophesy and to prophesy over people, to prophesy into people's lives, and at the same time just if you don't want to even go near that, you don't want to consider yourself a prophetic gift or whatever, just by sharing the word of God with somebody else, you are prophetically speaking into their life. That's why the word of God has to be used for everything. Let me end it here.
Thanks.
Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, 32 to 34. Am I getting my point across?
Yes.
Okay, thank you for those three yeses. I'm concerned now. I'm really concerned. Am I getting my point across?
Yes.
Well, that's half. I'm going to have a good time up here, even if you're not. Okay? 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 15, 32 to 34. If in the manner of men I have fought the beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me, the dead? If the dead do not rise, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Oh boy. Let's take that for a little bit and we'll break it up here. If in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If the dead do not rise, let us drink and be merry. He's talking about if all that Christ has said, if all that God has given us doesn't really function, then what's the use? What's the use of going on? I might as well just go home now. Just let the animals kill me, and I'm out of here. Let the soldiers just put a spear through me or a sword. Just take me home. Do not be deceived that evil company corrupts good habits. Someone who is deceived already is evil company. Hello? He may not know that it's evil. He may not know that it's bad. He may not know that he's even being deceived. But if you start spending a lot of time with somebody that doesn't believe the way you believe, that doesn't believe in Jesus, that doesn't believe in everything the Word of God says, then that's evil company. That person is already deceived. Somebody who doesn't believe that there's a heaven, that there is a hell, they're deceived. And if you start hanging out with that kind of company, that type of thinking is going to come to you. That type of thinking, it will start, some of that stuff will start just start coming off on you. And you take a strong Christian and you can change him in a week. If you start believing that. And you start hanging out with the wrong people. It's an incredible thing God has shown us. It's an incredible thing he has done in us. And that's why he wants it to kept the way he wants it for us. He has told us how to live our lives. He didn't keep it from you. He told you what to do and what not to do. He told you who to speak to and who not to speak to. He told you who to love and who not to love. Actually, he wants you to love everybody. We just don't hang out with everybody. We love even the sinners, but we just don't hang out with them. We don't spend all our days of our life, you know, just hanging out with bad people. Because that will corrupt your thinking. That will corrupt what you believe. Isn't that funny? I mean, you can spend a week with somebody and things like that can get on you. When you start doubting your healing, you start doubting your salvation, you start doubting that God loves you, you start doubting all that the Word has spoken about you, all that God has spoken about himself in the Word of God for you. You start doubting his own Word just because you're in wrong company. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. There are going to be a lot of people around you, a lot of people the enemy will put you in touch with. Some will be with Christians that have no understanding of God whatsoever. And they will put you in crowds like that and mixes of people like that, and that will get you off course. That's the whole purpose of it. There are people who look godly, speak godly, but they know nothing about God. They've got all the religious words down pat. Everybody here has met those kind of people. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. They know how to do it in church. Glory to God and hallelujah and praise the Lord. They'll even dance in the spirit and they'll jump and they'll do all kinds of things. But they have no understanding of God. because they themselves have been deceived. And if you start hanging out with those who have a God look and they're not living for God, that spirit will come on you. And this is where you get into the problems of the days of helping in the church, of going out, going on missions, doing a lot of help, doing what God has blessed you with your money, your finances, blessing other people, blessing other ministries, doing all that. God wants us busy with his kingdom. When you're busy with the kingdom, he's busy with you. He's busy with you. Because God never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's right there with us. And he tells us that when we obey, he's right there with us. He will help us. For the work that he has called you to do, many of us couldn't even think about it, right? When I first went into the mission field, preaching was unknown to me. I never preached anywhere. When I first went to the mission field, I didn't think I was born to be a preacher. I just brought the food, brought the clothing, did all that stuff, helped people, and that was enough for me. But when God said to me, preach at this church, you're going to begin here. Never, never, ever did I think it would take me to where we are today. And I just want to share with you this last comment, and that is that the enemy is going to throw a lot of wrenches in your way. He's going to throw a lot of obstacles in your way to try to throw you off course. The more you know of his word, the less those obstacles will make a difference in your life. The obstacles will come to all of us. To all of us. Temptations will come. Obstacles will come. Problems will come. All of that stuff will come. But when you're fixated on him, when you're fixed on him, when you're trusting God for your healing, when you're trusting God for your finances, when you're trusting God with your children, when you're trusting God with all of these things, God will be right there with you, and you'll be focused on him and him only. And he will bring his word to fruit in your life. Amen? Why don't you stand? You know what I'd like? I'd like everybody to hold hands, come across and form one line and hold hands. Now, I want you to come forward. Hold his hand. Royal, come all the way over here. Come over here, Jeanette Roots, next to the past. Oh, there. Okay, that's good. Give me your hand.
And give me your hand.
What I'm going to pray about, well, let me just do it rather than tell you. Heavenly Father, I just want to give you the praise and glory this morning, Almighty God.
Yes, Lord.
For what you have done here this morning, O precious Lord. I know it's not an easy subject to receive, Almighty God, because it makes us think. It makes us take note of where we are in our lives, O precious Father, and I thank you, dear gracious Father, that you are working with each and everyone. The Holy Spirit, right, Father, is ministering to each and every person that's in this room right now. I thank you, dear gracious Heavenly Father, that as you have brought correction in their life, that you have brought something in their life in their life that they need to adhere to or pay attention to, they will do that, O precious Father, that they walk in obedience to what you tell them to do this morning, O precious God. And so we thank you for that, Almighty God. And dear gracious Father, I don't know who's sick here. I don't know who needs a touch of you, O precious Father. But I do know one thing, that the transference of your power is in these hands, O precious Lord, I praise you, Father. And I thank you, dear gracious Lord, that the power that rode in me, that healed me from my disease, O precious God, and then just lifted me up into the heavenlies, O precious God, into your presence, Almighty God, it's going out of my hands right now. And it's going into them, O precious Father, right now. I thank you, dear gracious Heavenly Father, that it doesn't, doesn't matter whether it be something small or something large, oh precious Father. Let this transference, Father, go with them wherever they go this week, oh precious Father. Let them take heed, Father, for what they have heard today. Let them
allow me to read the portion of the scriptures to remind us what the significance of partaking the communion. Amen. And this is for those who have received Christ in their lives and have received the forgiveness of our sins, and to remember that Jesus did it for us. And his words says, "For I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Those are the words of our Lord Jesus. We have to remember him and remember what he has done. "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes," because Jesus is coming back for us. "Therefore, whoever eats this bread, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." So that's why we take a moment to reflect on our condition apart from Christ. God has given us that blessed opportunity today. And let us not take this lightly, because God loves us so much, and he is here. He is here to help us, to remind us of his perfect sacrifice at that cross. As we pray, if you're someone that has not yet accepted Christ in your life, this will be the moment. Or if you're someone who would like to recommit your life to God because, you know, things are not going well and your heart has grown cold with God, this is the moment wherein we can recommit our lives to God and just give it totally to him. And so, Lord, we just come before you today, just as we are. So if you're that person that you feel that tug in your heart and you have never made that decision to commit your life to Jesus, let this be the day that you would come to him, come to Jesus and say, "Jesus, I come to you as a sinner. I realize that I am a sinner. I have sinned against you and I need your forgiveness in my life. I need your salvation. I need the gift of eternal life that when I die, I know that I will have the assurance to be with you in heaven. Hell and heaven exist as the word of God declares." So it's the truth. And so we are thankful to the Lord for that opportunity. So if you're that person, I would just ask you to follow me in this very simple prayer. You have to say it with your lips, because that would seal the significance of accepting his salvation. What we believe in our hearts, we confess it with our mouth. So if you're that someone that would like to make that decision today, say this prayer and mean it from your heart. Lord Jesus, I come to you as a sinner. And I thank you that you came to die on that cross for my sins. I am a sinner, and I need your grace and mercy, your salvation. I believe that you shed your blood on that cross, that I may have the forgiveness of all of my sins. So today, I receive your gift of salvation. I receive my forgiveness through your blood. And today, I decide to make you my Savior and the Lord of my life. And help me to obey you, to obey your word from this day on through the help of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. And if you're that someone that you feel like coming to church, you have lost that passion and love for Christ. The word of God was shared to us this morning. The commandment is to love the Lord with all of our hearts, because he's a jealous God. And so if there's anything in our walk with God that has hindered us from continually following him, let this be the moment wherein we will make that decision for him. And so, Lord Jesus, if you're that person, we were just going to say this prayer. Lord Jesus, I come to you just as I am. You know the condition of my heart. Many things in my life that are going on, you know them all. And God, I ask for the help of your Holy Spirit to bring back the love for you, the love for your word, the love for people, and the motivation, Lord God, and the interest to do things and to serve you, God, all the days of my life. So, Lord, I ask of your Holy Spirit to help me in my struggles, in my walk with you, because I don't want to take this communion lightly. And so, Lord, let this be the day wherein I would just recommit my life to you. I ask for the power of your Holy Spirit from this day on, in Jesus' name, as we partake. Before we partake the bread, let us remember the broken body of our Lord Jesus. His broken body, the blood that he shed on that cross, was meant for us because he loves us so much. And so, Lord, we thank you for your broken body, and we ask that, Lord, oh God, help us to discern, Lord God, that, Lord, what you want for us is unity in the body of Christ, most especially. If there's brokenness in relationships within the body of Christ, we ask for your help. That God, that teach us how to forgive one another the way you have forgiven us of our sins, Lord God. And let it be that, Lord, that the life we live would reflect Jesus in our lives. We thank you for your most precious blood, Lord Jesus, that cleanses us from all of our sins and makes us whole, that we may serve you all the days of our lives, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray as we partake the bread first. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And as we call on the ushers, we're going to take a second offering for Pastor Lou and Pastor Iggy. They were so blessed that they're part of us, because we believe, our conviction is that we're doing this together, as we would want to reach out many more for the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Let's call on the ushers as we take our second offering. Praise God. And then we're going to honor Elder Nelson. Praise God. Where's one of the ushers? It's okay. It's all right. It's okay. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. We thank the Lord for the spirit of generosity in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. It gives us joy to do things for the Lord. You know, one of the things that we would always, and you know what, before I say something, I'm going to call on someone as we honor Brother Nelson. I'd like to call on Hannah. Come on, Hannah. Hannah is the daughter of Brother Nelson. Look at her. She's so bubbly. Okay, all right. She got it from the dad, obviously. No, yes, yes. That personality. Okay, come on. Say something about your daddy.
Okay. Hello. I was told to plan something, but I'm not very good at planning speeches, so.
From your heart. Tell something from your heart about your dad.
I'm just very thankful to have a father figure like my dad. He's definitely, like, shown me, like, how strong his faith is throughout his life and everything they've been through together and everything. Shows me what it means to have unconditional love, not just for your family, but for even people you don't even know. Never met somebody that's, how do I explain it? Like, somebody who's, like, he wears his heart on his sleeve. Always make sure that everyone's smiling and laughing no matter what the situation is. You can
That's
hear
right.
his laugh from across the room.
That's
like,
right, yes. Contagious, infectious.
Very contagious.
Laughter, yeah.
And I just hope you know that I look up to you a lot and that I'm very thankful for all the support and motivation that you put in my life. And that I just hope one day I can give back to what you've given me. Love you.
Wow. Praise the Lord. What I liked about what Hannah said was, actions speak louder than words. As a dad, Brother Nelson, we've seen how you have modeled in the life of your daughter, your faith in God. Praise the Lord. You know, in Romans 12, verse 10, it says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. You know, the first time I met Brother Nelson was through Sister Nancy, the wife, because we used to work together at AIG. And now as I look back, it was God's purpose. That's why he brought me to that place. And so we got close, Sister Nancy and myself, and she showed me the picture of Brother Nelson in her wallet. And when I looked at the picture of Brother Nelson, his face was like, it was far from his real personality. He was so serious, but when I met him, it's like, wow, this guy, he has this jolly spirit, a happy spirit. Be around him, and you know what? When you're down, oh, you'll forget your troubles. We count you as a blessing, as a family of God, because you're someone who has been alongside of us in the work of God. You have modeled to us strong faith that can help us overcome whatever comes our way. Amen. Your faithfulness and your love for God is such a tremendous source of encouragement for us that no matter what, rain or shine, or whatever troubles come our way, he's there. He's there serving God, encouraging others. I've personally seen his spiritual growth all throughout these years as we've been serving the Lord together. He started just, you know, fixing chairs and doing ushering things. And see, God, it starts with faithfulness in small things, and promotion comes from God. And now how the Lord has elevated you to this point where now you're one of the elders of a church and, you know, overseeing God's flock. Happy birthday, Brother Nelson. We love you. Come forward. Happy day to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you, the Jesus way. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, May each day of the year. May you feel Jesus near. Happy birthday to you and many more years to come. Brother Nelson, as a church, we would like to express our love for you and our appreciation for you. Amen. And so now it's our turn to speak God's blessings upon his life. We know that each one has desires in their hearts. At times, those desires, we keep it to ourselves. But you know what? God knows those desires. And as his promise is that you are continually delighting in the Lord, do you know that his promise is he will give it to you. He will grant that desire in your heart. Amen. And we're going to speak blessings, abundant, overflowing blessings upon you in the anointing of your Holy, that Spirit of God. Amen. As we come to the Lord right now in prayer, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are so gracious, so wonderful, Lord God, that you have called us by name. You called Brother Nelson, Lord God, and now, Lord God, you have just caused him to grow up spiritually, Lord God. You have called him because you have a grand purpose in his life, and that, Lord, not even the enemy can stop it. Amen. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, oh God, how you have just encouraged him all throughout these years. We are eyewitnesses to what the power of God can do in the life of someone trusting you. And we see the Lord, the joy of the Lord truly is our strength. Amen. How Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord has been his source of strength all throughout this time. We thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit upon his life, oh God, how he has modeled that example to his own family, oh God, and even to the family of God. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, he is a man of faith. He's a man of prayer, oh God. And that, Lord, he will be, Lord God, a mighty instrument in the hands of a mighty God. Hallelujah. Lord, oh God, we thank you that, Lord, oh God, your blessings. We ask, oh God. That, Lord, oh God, you said in your word, oh God, that, Lord, you can do exceedingly beyond what any one of us can imagine what you can do for those who put their trust in you. That the power and the glory of God be manifested and seen in his life, in the life of everyone in his family, from Sister Nancy to their children, oh God, grandchildren, in Jesus' name, oh God. And so, Lord, you know the desires of his heart. We know that, God, because nothing is impossible with you, Lord, you will do it for him. And so, Father God, Lord, we thank you for your hedge of protection upon his life. That, Lord, oh God, as one of the faithful servants in the kingdom of God, we know that great is his reward that will come from you, oh God. Lord, we thank you for granting him wisdom, Lord. As a father, as a husband, Lord, oh God, even in his workplace, oh God, how you have blessed him, Lord God, with that divine favor, oh God. In Jesus' name, Lord God, that, Lord, you continually prosper him. Prosper the works of his hands, and above all, that, Lord, he will be, Lord God, a powerful messenger, oh God, declaring that Jesus is alive, Amen. That there is a God who loves us, oh Lord, and that you would use him continually for your glory and honor, oh God. And so, Lord, as a church, we bless him today, Lord God, and thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that he's part of us, oh God. We thank you for his faithfulness. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers him, oh God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Where's the lechon? Oh, no. Okay, no. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. This is an awesome time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't this wonderful? Amen. Let's all rise up and let's just proclaim the goodness of the Lord and let's just thank God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father God, once more, we come before you thanking you, God, for this blessed time you've given us, oh God. We ask, oh Lord God, that, Lord, you stretch forth your hand upon this congregation today, that in this gathering, that your hand serve like a canopy upon the lives of your people, oh God. That the light of Jesus shine brightly upon each one's life. And as we declare that you are our eternal guide, you're guiding everyone, Lord God, your people, Lord, unto your perfect will, O God. We thank you for your divine hedge of protection upon your people, O God. And we pray that, Lord, O God, as you increase our knowledge of you, O God, through the study of your word, Lord, we ask, O God, that you would use us to encourage others, to share the truth, the message of the gospel to so many more who needs to hear it, O God. We thank you for this blessed time that we can be together as a church, as a family of God, to honor you first and to celebrate the lives of our brethren today, O God. And Lord God, we thank you, Father God, and so, Lord, that you're going to dismiss us in the love and the grace of our Lord Jesus. And through the power of your Holy Spirit, we give you the praise, the highest praise that is due you, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Let's just worship the Lord God together. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. One woman band? No.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lauren. And in addition to the honoring my brother Nelson, I just want to honor you too, brother. Yeah, because I will never forget this when I was I was in the ER because of I was given medication more than 500 milligrams. Anything that is 500 milligrams, my body won't take it. So I was brought to the ER, and Brother Nelson was there. He never left me. And I will never forget that. Thank you, brother. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So we will give thanks to the Lord. Amen. And I'm thankful that I belong to this local church. You know why? Because of the power of testimony. Last Sunday, it was Brother James, right? He died for so many times, but he saw darkness, he saw hell. But he saw the victory. Amen. We saw the victory through our brother James, the power of the testimony to Pastor Lou, Pastor Monette, my son Peter John. So I thank God that we belong to this local church, amen. Because of the power of testimony, amen. Because Jesus is alive forevermore. So we will give thanks to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. Everybody say,
His love endures forever. For His good is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise.
With a mighty hand. With a mighty hand. Charm.
His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, His love endures forever.
Sing praise.
Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise.
Sing praise. Sing praise.
Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever and ever. Forever.
From the rising to the setting sun. Everybody say,
love endures forever.
That's forever, yes,
forever.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, through a walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name.
Every blessing, yeah.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness goes, says in Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name,
Jesus.
Blessed be the name. Blessed be your name.